Charga, Ashto, Sri Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Raj, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Sridhar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi, Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kunaradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Navadip Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamana Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Last place I was reading from 7:10, so we'll start on 7:11. Did we do a cell phone check? All the cell phones. Silent, please. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharmha viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Purport. The strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak, not for personal aggression. Similarly, sex life, according to religious principles, dharma, should be for the propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring Krishna conscious. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Here, as in the 11th or the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and several other places, Krishna mentions various material manifestations with which he identifies himself in this portion. That means, of course, everything is a manifestation of Krishna. But here Krishna chooses to say that certain manifestations represent him. Balam balavatam chaha. I am the strength of the strong. Bala, strength. Balavatam, those who have strength. But kamaraga vibharjata. He doesn't choose to identify himself with this strength, with strength used for oppression or needless violence. Greed. Now we see strength used for greed. Powerful countries will send their armies to greedily usurp the resources of the world for their own aggrandizement. Powerful men will, out of lust and attachment, use power for sense gratification. So Krishna doesn't identify himself here with that kind of strength. Kamaraga vivarjita, strength which is devoid of passion, desire, devoid of desire, and devoid of raga, attachment. The wise heads of state or wise enforcers of the law use power, but they use it with detachment. They use it with detachment, not out of, not simply to assert their strength, not to get something for themselves, but as a matter of duty. The Kshatriyas have a duty to use violence, to use power. Sorya teja tritir daksham yute chapya palaya dhanamichara pavascha tratram karmasa pavaja. This is the duty of the Kshatriyas. They have to use strength for the protection of innocent people, for the protection of the state, for the maintenance of law and order. Even the king has to punish his own relatives. He'll punish his own son if his son breaks the law. And he'll excuse even his own enemy if his enemy is acting according to the law. So it's not a matter of attachment, it's not a matter of greed or lust. It's a matter of duty. He has to do these things. He has to use power. Yudhisthira Maharaj used power, but not for his own ambitions. He was not ambitious to sit on the throne of Hastinapur. He used power as a matter of duty. For his own sake, he would have been happier not to exercise power. But he did it as a matter of duty. So when we see that kind of power, power used kamaraga vivarjita, without lust, without attachment, that power exercised by powerful people represents Krishna. Bala balavatam chaha kamaraga vivarjita. And dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshita. Kama means sex. Kamadev is Cupid. Kamosmi. The Krishna says, sex life also represents me. But not all sex. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu. Sex, which is dharma avirud. Avirud means not against, not in opposition to dharma. dharma of your goods. Just as we pray, rupa nuga virudhapa siddhanta dvanta. You are opposed to everything, all the conclusions which are against the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa nuga virud. If it's rupa nuga virud, then it's apasiddhanta. Then it's not the right conclusion, it's apasiddhanta, the wrong conclusion. Rupanuga virud. It's against the principles taught by Srila Rupa Goswami and his followers, therefore it's apasiddhanta. Not the right conclusion, but a faulty conclusion, apasiddhanta. So here, the opposite, avirud, not virud, not against. That means in accordance with the principles of dharma. Dharmaviruddho bhuteshu. Of course, bhuteshu means living beings. In all the living beings, other than the human beings, they always follow their dharma. The insects, the beasts, what have you, they always follow the regulative principles for their species of life because they have no choice. The insects have their season, the lions have their season, the elephants, the so many. Or the monkeys, it's always season. But if you're a monkey, that's legal. For the monkeys to have sex like monkeys is completely authorized. Or for the cats and dogs to have sex like cats and dogs is completely authorized because they're cats and dogs. They're placed in a species of life where sex at any time is fine. Or the hogs, anytime, anyone, bona fide. Or the lion, Prabhupada said, once a year, he said, therefore he's king of the beasts. In any case, the animals never act according in violation of the principles ordained by nature for their species. Therefore, they always make gradual upward advancement from one species to the next because they never break the regulative principles for their species of life. They always act as they're supposed to because they're not given freedom. They're not given freedom, so they don't violate anything. So they're given credit. All right, you can advance slowly, slowly, higher, higher, higher. Then in the human life comes broader choice. The human beings can act according to dharma or against the principles of dharma. Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranita. The Lord enunciates what is to be done and what is not to be done. Shastra pramanam te karya karya vyavastito. One should know what to do and what to, not to do from shastra. Shastra gyatva vidhinoktam karma kartam iharasi. Shastra gyatva vidhinoktam karma kartam iharasi. One should know what to do and what not to do from shastra, and one should act accordingly. Ya shastra vidimutsridya vartate kama karata. Nasa siddhim abapnoti na sukkam na parangitim. If one acts contrary to shastra, giving up the shastric direction, simply according to his own whims or to satisfy his own desires, kamakarata, nasa siddhim abapnoti, He doesn't attain perfection. Nasukam doesn't even become happy. We think that by doing whatever we want, we'll become happy. But in fact, we become miserable. We increase our anxiety, we increase our troubles. Radasastu palam dukkha. Acting in the mode of passion, we increase our trouble. So, na susiddhim avapnoti na sukham na parangatim. And one doesn't go back to Godhead. One stays in this material world. As Srila Prabhupada points out, the rules of dharma are meant for the human beings. Just as the law is meant for the human beings. The stop at the red light, if the dog violates that law, he doesn't get a ticket, doesn't lose any points. Because he's a dog, he's not expected to know the law, abide by the law. The law is not written for him. It's for the human beings. So the human beings are expected to know what is legal, what is illegal, and they're expected to abide by the law. Otherwise, difficulty. So for so many things, there's Shastric guidance. This is legal, this is illegal, this is good, this is not good, this is authorized, this is not authorized. And for sex also. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu. Sex which is not contrary to dharma. What is contrary to dharma? For the brahmacharis to have sex is contrary to dharma. For sannyasi to have sex is contrary to dharma. For vanaprastha to have sex is contrary to dharma. The vanaprastha life, husband and wife may stay together, but there's no sex. That's contrary to vanaprastha dharma. So sex is only legal within one ashram, the grihastha ashram. What's legal in one place is illegal in another. What's illegal in one place is legal. So what's illegal for the sannyasis, the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, for the grihastas is legal, authorized. It's authorized. The grihastas are allowed to have sex. That's not dharma virud. It's dharma avirud. It's in accordance with religious principles. Dharma. But within householder life also, it's not any sex. But it's sex for the purpose of having Krishna conscious children. That means sex is allowed once in a month at the time of optimum fertility, not otherwise. Srila Prabhupada didn't make this up. It's found in Manu Sangita, at least, and elsewhere. The quotations are someplace on my hard disk, but it's there. Sex simply for satisfaction of the senses is not accepted as dharmic. Satisfaction of the senses will be there, but the sex is not for that. It's for having a good child. And then in that connection there'll be sense gratification also. The Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that for having a good child, I'd be prepared to have sex thousands of times. That means it's accepted in the grihastha ashram. The should not be criticized. Oh, grihasthas are having sex. They're allowed to have sex for the sake of begetting a child. Otherwise not. Therefore, it's grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram. Ashram means where there's spiritual progress. So in the grihastha ashram, there's regulated sex for the service of Krishna. That's also counted as devotional service, just as we have men who go out and preach and recruit new members. So the householders apart from recruiting, they bring new members into the society by sex, by having children. Then those children are to be trained to become free from birth and death. Gurur nasasyat, janani nasasyat, pita nasasyat. Namochiye ya samupetya mrityum. One should not become a father, one should not become mother, guru, king, demigod. Unless he can save the person under his charge from the clutches of birth and death. That should be the purpose. That the Krishna-conscious grihasthas will have sex for the purpose of increasing the number of servants of Krishna. Servants of Krishna. Then it's dharma-viruddha. Not against the religious principles. Rather, accepted. Yes, this is also a religious duty. It's actually the duty of the... Otherwise, why get married? What is that? Putrahinam grihasunyam. Without children, what's the purpose of married life? So it's the duty of the householders. And the Bible also, it said, be fruitful and multiply. The grihasthas, sannyasis and brahmacharis are not going to be fruitful and multiply that way, but it's the duty of the grihasthas, actually duty. They should have Krishna conscious children. Then Krishna says, asmi, I'm also that sex. That sex also represents me. Paratarshaka, oh Arjuna. So Srila Prabhupada used to quote this verse. The Krishna consciousness is not restricted only in one arena. Krishna is all-sided, not one-sided. So this also is there within the realm of devotional service. The responsible grihastha life in which sex is accepted for the service of the Lord. Prabhupada also set the standard that the grihasthas should chant 50 rounds of the Maha Mantra before having sex. In the Vedic culture, the Garbhadhan Samskar is there. Dashabidha Samskar, 10 types of samskars. For creating the purified population or human beings of a purified mentality who will be qualified for going back to Godhead. The Prabhupada said the beginning is the Garbhadhan Samskar, or the seed-giving ceremony. So in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, some direction is given how that samskar is performed. Srila Prabhupada simply gave the direction that the grihasthas should chant 50 rounds Hare Krishna. That means purified. That's the highest thing is Hare Krishna, So Prabhupada gave that direction, 50 rams. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that the mind will be fixed on Krishna. And the child produced will be of a purified mentality, will be a pure soul, eligible for making progress, or suited for making progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Or the child will get the best start, that even before the conception, the opposite, now the materialists, what is their consciousness? There was a daughter of a famous American novelist whose name was Margot. The daughter's name was Margot because that was the name of the wine on which her parents were intoxicated at the time of her conception. Very typical that the parents are intoxicated by liquor, by drugs. Even sometimes the child is born addicted to drugs. Right? Because the mother is, after all, the child is taking nourishment from the body of the mother. The mother is taking cocaine or this or that or the other thing, morphine. And then the child is an addict from before birth. That's on the gross platform. Anyone can see. On the subtle platform, it's more subtle, but from the eyes of Shastra, we understand that the mentality of the parents is transferred to the mentality of the child. Or that the mentality of the parents invites a child of a certain quality. So according to the mentality of the parents, a certain kind of child. Therefore, this Prabhupada said, garbhadan sanskar is essential for the at least higher sections of human society. So that there will be purified offspring. Krishna-conscious offspring. That was Prabhupada's direction. Otherwise, all right, whatever one wants to do. But one can't expect the same results. So Prabhupada's direction, or the Vedic direction, is garbhadan samskar, at least for the higher sections of human beings. Different samskars, the garbhadhan samskar, then there's other samskars, vivaha samskar. Finally, at the end, the time of leaving this world, again samskar. So throughout life, these samskars are there for creating the impression of spiritual consciousness very strongly, so that the human life will be successful. So that begins for the child before his conception. And that's the responsibility of the parents. Now they're so irresponsible. They just have children and sometimes abandon them. There was some article, I don't know why, I was in England. I was on the flight from England, and there happened to be an item, a paper someone was reading, that in the landfills, they discovered some 5 or 7 bodies of children, infants, sort of compacted and thrown in the landfills. And the article said that, this is like, what's the big investigation? This goes on all the time. It's not, it's unknown to us, that, or unusual to us. We're used to this now. And in fact, the way that our landfills work,
It's just unusual that these bodies turned up, because otherwise the compactors do everything, everything's mechanized, and who knows how many infant bodies are just processed in the landfills. Prabhupada uses this term, unwanted population. So it's literally unwanted, that the parents are having sex simply for sense gratification. Indriyartha, simply for the sake of sense gratification. And the child is the unwanted result. Parents may be married, parents may not be married. They're having sex, that they like. But they try to stop the result by contraceptive methods. You know, they're all into nature and natural life and organic and all of that. But when it comes to the natural outcome of sex, they're totally against it. Not totally, but largely against it. For every time that a man and woman are having sex for the purpose of getting a child, how many times simply for sense gratification? And so often when we, despite the contraceptive method, conception takes place, then the next option is abortion, to kill the child. Vicious. That, the animals will do. Less than animal to kill the child. And then say, it's not really a human being, as well, it's this, it's that, or something like a tumor. Kill the child within the womb. Or, as the article indicated, if the child is born, either abortion is not, somehow abortion isn't an option, or whatever, then the next thing is dispose of the child. Nunam pramatta krute vikarma yad indriya pritir apranoti. Bhagavatam says that being intensely insane, pramatta, people are performing these vicious activities, vikarma. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yad indriya priti or apranoti. Simply for indriya priti, simply for the pleasure of the senses, simply to satisfy the senses. And what kind of result will they expect? What kind of nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukham naparamgatim? They can't attain perfection of life. What kind of happiness will they get by this kind of life? And where's the question of going back to Godhead? But people are doing these things simply for sense gratification. Kamo pabhoga parama itavaditi nishchita. What is the goal of life? What is the highest purpose of life? That's simply to satisfy the senses. Itavaditi nishchita. That's as much as they can ascertain. Oh, it's their misfortune. And then they're in the schools also, they're the sex education, but sex education is not what is the what is dharma? Simply biology and encouragement, actually. That yes, you should be responsible. Responsible means use contraceptives. That's their understanding of responsible. Responsible means use contraceptives. That's as far as the responsibility go. And if she gets pregnant, then you have to pay for the abortion. that's also responsible. And if the child is born, you have to pay for it. That's responsible. Not that you have to follow regulative principles for human life. Not that there has to be purpose for sex. Not that sex should be restricted, heaven forbid, so that it's only between those who are married, what to speak of those who intend to get a child. No, it should be, it's understood that we're young and we're enthusiastic, or we're old and we're enthusiastic, and we like it, that's all. And what we like, we should have. That means cats and dogs. These are the religious principles for the cats and dogs. We feel lusty, we're going to do it. Dogs, dogs, monkeys. Oh, in Kali Yuga, that monkey standard is taken as the standard. And if you question the standard, what's wrong with you? Some sort of religious fanatic, some sort of prude. But actually, this is human life. Dharmavirudha-bhute-shukamasmi. That sex is good when it's for the service of Krishna. When it's accepted, dharmavirudha, in a manner not contrary to religious principles. Otherwise, trouble. Otherwise, trouble. So we can take note of these things from the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and be guided for a progressive human life. Some questions?
When it comes to this topic, generally, the argument that people put forward is that in India itself, if you go to places like Khajuraho, I don't know if they are temples or palaces, but there's a lot of description about sex and all. There are statues and carved, and these come thousands of years. So they base it on the Vedic or Indians civilization itself. It was portrayed, and it's contradicting. How do you answer that?
People argue that in Indian architecture there are these mituna, loving couples, and these things are portrayed. And therefore, Indian civilization was just bubbling with this stuff. So what's wrong with it? The sculptures may be there, but Indian civilization has not been a just-do-it civilization. We see that now India is becoming also trying to imitate the West and have unrestricted sense gratification. But this is recent. The history of India, even recent history, is that there's restriction. If a girl, even what to speak of Indian history, even American history. My mother was telling me that when she was a young girl, there were certain things that you just did not do. There were certain things that you simply did not do. If you were a respectable girl, you didn't do those things. Now that's shot, forget it. Therefore, the girls would be married in their virginity. Even in American culture, we want to speak of Indian culture. Even I was hearing that within the last couple of decades, Probably, maybe still, I don't know. But I heard it maybe 10 years ago or so. There would be Indians wanting to immigrate to England. And, you know, by one way or another way, they try to get a visa, try to get permission. And so one ploy was that I'm going there to get married. You know, my prospective husband is living there in Britain, and so I'm also going to Britain to get married. And from what I'm told, the matron would check. If the girl's not a virgin, it's rejected. She's an Indian girl, she's saying she's going to get married, but she's not going there to get married. She's already an experienced woman. And I knew that in Indian culture, this is not the way it goes. It was very strict. We read in Krishna book that there were 16,100 princesses kidnapped by Homasu. And they were freed by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna killed the demon, and now you're free to go. The girl said, "Where will we go?" "No man will take us. No man will accept us as wives. Because we've been in the house of someone else, or under the captivity of someone else. So we're ruined for marriage." It was so strict. If a girl has spent one night outside of her home, finished. Very difficult to get her married now. So the girls presented them. Now, where will we go? Krishna said to them, "What do you want?" "We want you to marry us." Krishna said, "All right, come on." So many examples can be given there. So the artists may portray whatever they want. It's not that, of course, Indian society meant that everybody was Draupadi, Arundhati, and so on. But the standard was very restricted. The mixing, unrestricted mixing of men and women couldn't go on, at least not in respectable society. He's not in respect to this society. Now everything's going to hell. Going to the logs. But if we see the history, quite regulated. If they want to make out that India, you know, that they want to read India literature, what do they want to read? Kama Sutra. But even that Kama Sutra was meant for getting good children. And now they go for sex therapy or whatever it is. So in India there was Kama Sutra. But it wasn't simply meant for sense gratification. Therefore, from what I'm told, the text is fairly boring, you know, because it's not really what they want. It's not just a guide to how to gratify your senses. There's a purpose. Purpose is good children.
Brad, you mentioned that
There's no choice for the animals.
Is it also not true that as individual jivas, all jivas have some element of choice and that really is an explanation for
what's that?
Is it also not true that all jivas have some element of choice and it's by virtue of that element of choice that they're in the material world?
Yeah, every jiva has choice, and it's by virtue of, or by dint of that choice that we're in the material world. But then when we come to the material world, our choices are limited. Yeah, I might like to fly, but I can't just get up and fly. I might like to eat, you know, a dinner for a king every night, but I can't do it. There's so many things that we might want to do, but we're not free to do. Because we have this body. So the animals are so restricted. The tree can't walk around. He's been restricted. No, you can't go anywhere. You just stand there. Restricted. The fish are restricted to the sea. All the animals, their diet is already ascertained. The cow has to eat grass. The tiger has to eat flesh. They can't reverse their diet. But the cow will eat flesh and the tiger will eat meat. No. Strictly controlled by nature. Then we come to the human life and it opens up somewhat. There's some greater choice, not unlimited choice. But these choices are there. These choices are for us to make. Therefore, Shastra is directing us how to choose. If we didn't have free choice, what would be the use of Shastric direction? What's the use of giving instructions to someone who has no freedom to accept or reject what you're telling him? So therefore, for the animals, no Shastric direction is given. The animal can't hear it, can hear it, but it can't do anything with it. The human being is meant to hear it and then think about it and implement it. He has the freedom that's implied by the fact that the Shastras are directing him. Is that okay?
Just an interesting statistics on this topic. I'm a pharmacist and I've filled so many prescriptions every day. My analysis of the prescriptions I fill is like the girls filling prescriptions between age 16 and 40, almost everyone has contraceptive pills in their list of prescriptions, and along with it is antidepressant medication. So it's like
they go together.
Yeah, they go together.
Sex for happiness, but the result is depression. And then there'll be so many political movements that we're tired of being used as sex objects. We're tired of being this, that. But you're volunteering. Or looking at it the other way, you're being cheated. But you like being cheated also. You don't want to be treated like a second-class citizen, but you do want to be enjoyed by this one, that one. Therefore, there's some movement that I was reading in some of the best Ivy League colleges where the girls have figured out that we're just being cheated. And as a feminist statement, they're observing chastity. As a feminist statement, you know, we're not your toys just to gratify your desires. That's not who we are. We have some integrity. We have some, yes, we have some integrity. Strong feminist statement. We're not your toys. But it's very unfortunate that modern civilization, so-called, yes.
Maharaj, can you explain to me how it exactly happens, or what exactly happens when at the time of the sex, the type of consciousness that one has at the particular moment, where did the soul come from?
Where does the soul come from?
Yes.
At the time of sex? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, these things are explained by Lord Kapildev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the time of sex, the seed is given by the father. And in that seed, the soul is present. So the soul is injected by the father into the womb of the mother.
Always present inside the body.
Always present inside the body means?
In the form of semen, the soul is always there, and the particular state of consciousness somehow choose the...
Yeah, it gets very subtle. I don't know exactly how it works, that a particular soul is placed in a particular body, but according to the laws of karma. How does this particular soul wind up in Africa or in India or in Alaska or in South America? How does he wind up in a rich family or a poor family? According to his karma, and according to those laws of karma also, a particular kind of preparation is made. So the parents are having sex like cats and dogs, but you're a pious soul. No, you're not meant for going there. You know, like they're building a slum project, but you're a rich man, so you're not meant for moving into the slum. Some other person who's, you know, living on welfare or something, he can move there according to his karma. He can move there. But you're a rich man, so you have to move to, you know, someplace high class. So the parents are having sex simply for sense gratification. So the child or the soul whose karma is to become the son or daughter of such a union goes there. And for the parents who are following religious principles, the child with a different karma is going. Just, what is that? In Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. Some living entity who in his previous life became very advanced in Krishna consciousness but didn't finish the course, he takes birth in the family of yogis or advanced transcendentalists. Atava yogina meva kule bhavati dhimata. According to his karma, he's meant for taking birth in a family of devotees or a family of transcendentalists who are following these principles of dharma. So by the workings of karma, all right, you go there.
Maharaj, in the heavenly planets, is it regulated like...
In heavenly planets, they have different rules. Therefore, the heavenly planets are very desirable for those who want to enjoy greater sense gratification. You can do more, and it's still legal.
What doesn't apply to beyond us?
Anyway, we have to think about us. What they do in heavenly planets, you get your instruction manual when you go there.
Someone asked me this question about the lecture program while we were reading Sri Upanishad. So that the laws of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, those laws apply only to the people on the earth planet? Was the question.
The basic principles are this dharmaviruddha bhuteshu. This applies everywhere. Sex which is not contrary to religious principles. Now, what's contrary may differ according to the planet you're on. The principle is the same. You have to follow the regulative principles. Then Krishna consciousness is there. But what the regulative principles may be different on different planets. Or if even different, you know, the Kshatriyas, they can have more than one wife. Or the wealthy Vaishyas, they can, if you can support more, you can have more. Yeah. But if you can't, then no. Yes? There was a question?
Yeah, chapter 7, from verse 1 to, I think, 10, Krishna says, I am the sun and the light of sun and moon and all those examples. My son was asking me, why does he choose to give those specific examples? Is that something that he would want us to see in that category as perfection, or it's just an example?
Why this example, sun, light of the sun and the moon, why those examples? Huh?
Right.
Because Krishna wants to impress us. He wants choosing these examples so that we'll think of him. He wants us to think of him. That when you see the sun, think of me. When you see the moon, think of me. So the sun, the moon, they're powerful. They're everywhere. Whether you're not seeing the sun, the moon. Mm-hmm. Fire, Krishna says, also comes from me. We're always seeing sun, moon, fire. They're always involved with our life. So that means we'll always think of Krishna. Krishna could have said, I'm the light of the glowworm. The glowworm's not very impressive, and they come out for, you know, in this part of the country, a couple months a year. So, if Krishna says, I'm the light of the glowworm, I'm the, I'm some small-time thing, then we take it, you know, who cares about you? Who cares about you? I'm Krishna, so I'm the... Anyway, you can think of lots of examples of small things. So Krishna chooses big impressive things. Why? To stamp it on our consciousness. Or impressive in one way or another. At the end of 10th chapter, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava. Whenever you see something with special power, beautiful, strong, then take it as a manifestation of me. Of course, the devotee knows even the small thing. Krishna, the devotee will see, geez, the light in the glowworm is also Krishna's energy. Krishna is not only the light of the sun and the moon, he's the light of the matchstick, he's the light of the glowworm, he's the light on your watch dial. Even in the small things, the devotee will see Krishna. But to impress it on our consciousness, Krishna is picking the headlines, the headline manifestations, the dramatic ones.
Srila Prabhupada would say that, like, you know, if this is for the beginners to see Krishna in the nature, that, like, you see sun, moon, taste of the water is Krishna, one drinks water and thinks of Krishna, can be Krishna conscious.
Yeah. I mean, if you, Krishna could have said, I'm the strength of the cripple, I'm the strength of the weakling. But then we think, well, so, who cares about you? I'm the strength of the strong. I'm the intelligence of the intelligent. In this way, Krishna means God is great. Mm-hmm.
About the culpability of the sex life, I hear that in the wedlock, within the marriage, it's not as sinful, or resultant reactions are not as bad as it is outside the wedlock. But how far it is true? Sometimes we hear it is all the same because it's not according to the dharma.
Sex life is not according to dharma, and so how much
dharma
is their reaction?
Would you say reaction within wedlock and outside wedlock?
Oh, within
a sinful reaction.
Within marriage, sex is legal. It's not sinful. When it's within marriage and it's for having children, then it's legal. Otherwise, that your question is when it's not for having children?
Yeah,
then there'll be, even psychologically, then the mentality is that our business is sense enjoyment. That the wife understands that my husband is interested in me for gratification of his senses. The husband knows that my business is gratifying my senses. So immediately, without any question of, you know, yamraj or anything like that, their mentality becomes deteriorated. That this is where engaged in the animal business. Our goal may be Krishna consciousness, but our standard is the business of the animals. Adanta gopi. The senses are uncontrolled. What is that? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in the sixth chapter, that for the one who's bandhuratmatmanas tasya yenatmayvatmana jitaha anatmanas tu shatrutve varte tatmayva shatruvat. The mind may be the greatest friend or the worst enemy. When the mind is controlled, it's the friend. When the mind is uncontrolled, it's the enemy. So why are the senses uncontrolled? Because the mind is uncontrolled. Udharet atman atmanam natmanam avasadiyet atmayava yatmano bandhur atmayava upuratmanam. By the mind one should elevate oneself, not degrade oneself. So the yogis, the transcendentalists, they're meant to elevate themselves by control of the mind, by control of the senses. Otherwise, rajasas tu palam dukkham. That's the next thing. First thing is that the mentality is already deteriorated. And from the happiness and passion, misery will come. Misery will come. That will happen one way or another. How it will come? Because the mind becomes more agitated. What is that? Tripyantine hakripana bahuduka bhaja. Kandu yanena karayori vaduka duka yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. For the grihamedis, who are simply after sex for gratification of the senses, the tragedy is, the first tragedy is, that the sense gratification is tucham. It's paltry. You know, what do they get? just few moments of enjoyment, then it's finished. And for that, so much trouble. Grihamedi sukham hituccha. All that trouble for so little result. Kandu yanena karayori dukha dukha. It's like scratching to try to satisfy an itch. The more you scratch, the more it itches. Tripyanti neha kripana bahudukha bhaja. It's never satisfied. Rather, it becomes the cause of trouble and more trouble. Now that the senses are inflamed and we want more sense gratification, then that becomes the basis of our life. And then, all right, now forget about for children, it's for enjoyment. Then it's forget about whether it's my husband or whether it's my wife. And the next thing is illicit sex. Because it's no longer a question of religious principles. The principle is I want to enjoy. And the situation is that because I've exceeded the boundaries, therefore my senses are becoming more and more agitated. So then it's this one or that one. Because the mind is not controlled, the senses are not controlled. So then these commonplace extramarital affairs, which have become a way of life practically in the West. Or we don't go for the extramarital affairs, but we're not happy in our marriage. We're not satisfied. Why? Because we can't be satisfied. Soul will be satisfied by devotional service, not by sense gratification in any amount. And we're trying for sense gratification, and then disappointment. It's supposed to be so beautiful, so satisfying, so lovely, so transcendent, it's supposed to, everything's supposed to, the roses are going to bloom and the nightingales are going to sing and everything's going to be so wonderful. And what actually happens is disappointing. Therefore, your antidepressants. It's disappointing. Are we doing something wrong? Is it a question of technique? Is it a question of attitude? Is it a question of, my complexes from when I was growing up? Is it a question of, do I need therapy? Do I need this? What's wrong? Then, among other things, just the expense of trying to figure it out, going to this counselor and that doctor and this.
So many complexes.
And then this. And going to your pharmacy and getting, the antidepressants, and then the antidepressant abreacts with some other medication, and then you're in the hospital or you're in permanent, what kind of consciousness are you in now that you're on a steady stream of antidepressants? Or then you don't take your medicine and then you want to commit suicide, or you lose your job, or you're this, or you're that. Or simply divorce, which is now at, 50%? Because the union is for sense gratification. And when the sense gratification is no longer what we expect, then we say, well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's him, or maybe it's her. So, and all these other things that go on, that you're using me. No, I'm not. First she entices him and then blames him. Or first he entices her and blames her. First he pursues her and blames her. You made me break the, So all this recrimination goes on and so on. or the result is pregnancy, in which case either you have to kill the child, which is vicious, or have the child, which is expensive. And then what will you instruct your child about dharma? Now that I myself am not following it, what will I instruct the next generation? So without even inviting Yamaraj to enter the picture or anything, you know, on a cosmic level, just in terms of psychology, in terms of finance, in terms of sociology, you know, what kind of results will there be? And we see it all around us, how people are a mess. And no amount of it satisfies them. You know, they'll see it in the movies, they'll read it, they'll look at it in magazines, they'll read about it, they'll have it at home, they'll have it outside, and still they'll not be satisfied. Shibyanti neha kripana bahutu kabaja. Your AIDS, of course, is, you know, a very gross manifestation of the problem. And how expensive is that, and how troublesome to the world. And the worst part is one loses sight of the purpose of life. Sex means that one becomes fixated is good. One becomes enchanted. And what is that enchantment? He forgets about Krishna. Thinking of sex, forgetting about Krishna. And that means losing the real purpose of the human form of life. That's the worst consequence. War in householder life is meant for gradual progress. It means after the grahastashram, then vanaprasthashram, after vanaprasthashram. So gradual progress and detachment. So if I'm not following the rules, how difficult will it be for me to detach myself? Then I remain stuck. Another consequence. Tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamyam vartarshita. Therefore Krishna says, from the very beginning, one should control the senses. Papmanam pravihi hyesham kyenam gyanavigyananashim. And slay this enemy of knowledge and self-realization in the form of lust. So one weapon is by regulated sex life. And the other weapon is by restraint from sex life. For the brahmacharis, grahastas, and sannyasis, brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, it's restraint. And for the grahastas also, it's restraint. It's not, there's no license for unrestricted sex life for the human beings who want to make progress.
Mm-hmm. How you can explain about like King Chitraketu married 10 million wives, 1 crore, that's 10 million. Maharaj Dashrath also had 360, 3 were men.
Which one?
Maharaj Dashrath had 360 wives, 3 were the main queens. How do we explain on those situations?
We know that Maharaj, the first one, that Chitraketu, because he couldn't get a child. It wasn't that, you know, here's another pretty girl and here's another attractive woman. The wives somehow were barren.
Yeah.
That's the explanation of the Bhagavatam, why he married so many wives. Krishna, we know, we talked about his circumstance.
It's a question of Kalika, but I'm sorry to put a very nice explanation. But so far, as I come from India, this belief in Hinduism that have limited sex and family planning have spoiled the situation of the society.
Has spoiled the situation of the society.
In one way, because the population on one side, other religion, the God increasing and increasing. And this religion goes decreasing. It can create a problem.
Because the Muslims are having more sex and the Hindus are having less sex. So this is having
a... So only God can control it.
From another point of view... Why... What?
Excuse me, I have not finished my question. This question can be controlled by Almighty One. Because on one side, one religion says have many children. One religion that has created a problem of population and... Nowadays, the situation has come, the Hindu population has decreased, and the other population has increased. So it can be controlled
by... The Hindus, because they're observing birth control,
yes.
Not observing birth control, their population is decreasing. But because the Muslims are unrestricted in the matter, therefore it's increasing. I think, first of all, this is... not quite an accurate depiction of either side, what's going on in either way. If the Hindus, modern Hindus, are restricting their fertility, it's more as an economic issue now than a question of dharma. They become like the Americans, you know. What is it? Hum do, hamare do. You know, so it's not because of dharma. What was the blessing it used to be? May you become the mother of 10 sons?
Hundred
sons. You know, now may you become the mother of 2 sons.
But it's also not like following the regular principles.
No. It's simply a question of sense gratification. For sense gratification, we want to limit the number. Not because of dharma. You know, to blame it on dharma is another thing. Otherwise, we find that they were following dharma, but they had 5 children, 7 children. Now it's not dharma, it's simply sense gratification. Hum do, hamare do, simply... You know, they're not consulting Bhagavad Gita, they're consulting their pharmacist. That's the first thing. The second thing is that among the lower class of people, doesn't matter, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, anyone, there'll be this free mixing and unrestricted sex. Therefore, we see that the population of Shudras is always more. It's not a question of Hindu, Muslim, this, that. But the uncultured people will always be, you know, reproducing profusely. In any society, it's not that the intelligentsia numerically dominates. The intelligent people are always the fewest in number. And the greatest in number are the people who are dull and not very intelligent. That's just the way it is. It doesn't matter, Hindu. But then it's made an issue, Hindu, Muslim, this, that, by various interested parties. And they'll fly the flag of dharma for their own mentality. But it doesn't mean that because the Shudras are having sex like cats and dogs, then the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Brahmins should also have sex like cats and dogs just to keep up. You know, we have to keep up with the Shudras. The Shudras are multiplying, so we better multiply. Brahmins multiply, have influence by their intelligence. By their intelligence and by their saintly qualities. By intelligence, by saintly qualities, they'll control the society. Not just by dynastic expansion. Prabhupada controlled all of ISKCON. He didn't have to increase his family numbers to do it. It was by saintly qualities that he controlled, you know, thousands of people. Thousands of people wanted to cooperate with him, wanted to serve him, because of saintly qualities. Prabhupada said, "Why are they respecting me?" I said, "Because I'm not having sex."
Very brilliantly about topic which is not discussed as which is always although it is in the back of the mind, but openly discussion, and you explain everything in such a wonderful way.
I think I'm just trying to repeat whatever I can truly proper.
Next time you come around, maybe you can speak about how to control, like there are sure the systematic ways like controlling your food habits and maybe how to control these desires.
Hmm.
You know, regulated lifestyle. Even for devotees, it's a topic that I think a lot of us face, have challenges with.
Mm.
But it's also a topic that you can't easily talk to devotees. Unfortunately, you have to go to pharmacy or outside counselors. It would have been nice if they were within the society. Such
it's there. The books are there. The science is there. It can be discussed. Main thing is that mind should be on Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padavavinde. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Okay. There's RT now? Right?
No.
Look, finished.
Huh?
Okay. Thank you very much.